It's 11:35, Newfoundland Daylight Saving Time. Stay tuned for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine, with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern.
Pure pleasure without guilt.
The body you're concentrating on is your own.
Spare us the liberal apology and let history do the talking. Whoa!
Bonjour, Canada. Hello. Gothendine, Iceland, and how's she going, Newfoundland? Yes, all hands are on board. My name is Paul Moth. Today, the all-estrogen id, a most humble apology, will go up the bomba with the king's own jowls and cavalancers and shake that body. All this for you, with me, on the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. The BCN and the Great Eastern are happy, proud, excited, trans-Canadian, and ready to go. Welcome back, everybody. Now, if you heard our annual Last Saturday in August in Iceland show, you'll know that it ended in a bit of a brouhaha. It was a misunderstanding, to be sure. Bjork didn't take my joke in the spirit in which it was meant. We let the lawyers figure that one out. But my detention was momentary, and now I'm back into the conning tower, up on the deck, on the bridge of this fantastic nautical device known as the Great Eastern. Despite the mix-up, I say to all our friends listening on Radio Iceland Rikisutuar Ras A, Nithuftum path mjogat, shamst eth eri. But of course, the good news for today is that, cutbacks and government treachery aside, all negotiations with the Broadcasting Corporation of Canada have ended successfully, and we are now heard coast to coast on that network's series of transmitters. Our Confederate partners across this great landscape will be exposed once more to the cultural pulsings of Newfoundland and the Great Eastern. It's time for Wordworks, our look at things literary. Kathleen Hanrahan returns from her summer hiatus looking, I must say, fabulous.
Oh.
It's a new hair color, Kathleen.
Yes, I wanted something more autumnal.
Well, it suits you very well.
Thank you. It's great to be back with you, Paul.
Now, you've scrutinized this fall season's first hot new titles, and they're both much talked about books.
First, Your Psychic Vampiric Slut by Dr. Sally Rumsey.
Now, to avoid a barrage of letters of outrage, we should say that it's your, Y-O-U-R, possessive, and not an accusation that our listeners are
all
actually...
the same, the book posits that there is a psychic vampiric slut in every woman.
And we're happy about this, aren't we?
Well, only if we come to understand and love that psychic vampire.
And this is only one ingredient of the psychological cocktail that makes up the fair sex.
Yes, there's the nurturer, the lover, the sister, so on.
But those books have already been written.
Yes, and sold by the millions.
Well, let's have it then, Kathleen. Who is the psychic vampiric slut?
The all-estrogen id. The entirely self-obsessed, self-gratifying, amoral chick on the loose with your credit card.
We've met.
This is the part of you that pleasures itself without mind to the consequences.
I know, the one that claims it's lesbian experimentation, but it turns out that all the time she's actually sleeping with your best friend. She takes half your stuff when she moves out. And the worst, the thing that just drove me nuts, is that she would never put the records back in the sleeves. And I come home after she's split, and one of her odious cats is sound asleep atop my pristine vinyl copy of Trout Mask Replica.
Paul.
That was a collector's item.
Paul.
What?
How was the sex?
Ah, well, Kathleen, you know it was fantastic.
Know your psychic vampiric slut and use it is the message of this book. Dr. Rumsey isn't advocating women running amok, just having access to and control over that part of them that finds pure pleasure without guilt. As you can see, Paul, it's wonderfully illustrated.
I can see.
And is available from Mowdown House at $27.99.
Thumbs up, then?
So to speak. Next, I have The Miracle of Economology by R. Bennett Manning.
Stop. Stop. This thing is everywhere, Kathleen. Most of the staff here in the BCN building are reading it. And when I flew in from Iceland the other week, half the people on the plane had it open on their laps. Nothing but economic hokum rolled into some half-arsed, self-help, feel-good fantasy. It's a get-rich-quick scheme married to some karma calling mysticism. Does this book deserve any more notice?
I take it that you've read it?
I don't have to read it.
Ah, you're not being fair, Paul. It's a serious look at the economy and our spiritual lives.
Well, surely the two are not related.
Why not?
Not you too, Kathleen. I mean, look at these charts and diagrams, for God's sake. Reductive pulses of public spending, vitality, tranquility, and inequality. And look, what are these? Lines leading from the intestines to the money supply.
It's a little complicated to explain, but vibrations spin the economy, stimulating the nodal juices.
Frankly, I think this R. Bennett Manning guy's a kook and economology is a cult.
You're closed to new ideas, Paul.
Is that their line? You're not going to the meetings, I hope.
That's a little personal.
You know, I wish someone would look into this phenomena and expose it for what it is. It's worse than those Buddhists over in Halifax.
That's unfair. That's The Miracle of Economology by the Miracle of Economology Press and retails for $60. All proceeds go to the Center for the Miracle of Economology Foundation.
I bet. The millennium approaches and we brace ourselves for a flood of such pseudoscientific claptrap. Well, thanks for coming in, Kathleen.
Sure.
Kathleen Hanrahan and WordWorks return soon on The Great Eastern.
The BCN 5 o'clock news at 5:30. News that moves.
It's so fast-paced, sometimes I don't even notice it's over.
News with a focus on you.
Oh, definitely. They think of the listener first, and then they go for the story.
News that digs.
I used to be relaxed, but now I know I have so much to be afraid of.
News that impacts hard.
It hurts to listen to it. It really does. That's the kind of news I like.
The BCN, 5 o'clock news at 5:30, with Rita Malloy.
Today on 5 at 5:30 on 5:20, Fraser Institute says widespread joblessness, good for economy. Soft on separatism, ready kilowatt muzzled, as Tobin promises lights out for LaBelle Province. BCN, news for tomorrow, today.
Last week, we were privileged to have Newfoundland trivia expert Rock Hiscock aboard, answering queries from listeners. Perhaps you remember the one caller who asked whether or not it was true that Ontario Premier Mike Harris had Newfoundland ancestors. Well, we're obliged now to make a correction. Mr. Harris is not, it turns out, of Newfoundland stock. And as best we know, he and Premier Ralph Klein have an entirely professional relationship. The Dorothy mentioned by Rock is not a real person. Further to that item, there is no association between Hydro-Quebec, Freemasonry, and the recent conviction of Mr. Robert Vesco in Havana, Cuba. I want to handle this one properly. Nor is there now, or has there been at any time, to our knowledge, a conspiracy involving the major Canadian banks, the Liberal Party of Canada, the Disney Corporation, and the construction of a fixed link to Prince Edward Island. While it is true that Mr. Ernie Coombs was born in the United States, it was not in Roswell, New Mexico. The pattern of crosses of the Knights Templar appearing on the facade of the CBC Broadcast Center in Toronto is, we are told, entirely coincidental. We at the Great Eastern apologize for these errors and any inconvenience they may have caused.
The Great Eastern, great radio, coast to coast in Newfoundland, on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, BCN, 520 on the long wave.
Descending now deep into the basement of the old BCN building to mine these murky shafts for nuggets from our musty archives. And here he is, the keeper of the vault and director of radio here at the BCN, Ish Lundergan.
You make it sound so gloomy, Paul.
What gem from our golden age will illuminate these dark passages today?
Well, Paul, the recent news of renewed conflict in Oogabamba got me thinking about a few BCN firsts. The station first got into international news coverage to report on the Oogabamba situation starting in the 1930s.
Now, this would have been coverage of Newfoundland's first colonial episode on the Dark Continent. And I guess, thankfully, her only one, because, I mean, the whole thing...
For once, just once, spare us the liberal apology and let history do the talking.
All right. So we're going to hear those reports from the 30s, then?
No, unfortunately, the wire recordings were chopped up and used to hang pictures in a building renovation during the war. But anyway, I found a fine bit of tape from the original lacquer disc from 1940. Now, here's our international and African report with Dr. Connor House.
who I believe was a real doctor.
Oh, yes, cured my mother of a mysterious illness, actually, right around the time of this show.
In 1927, Newfoundland achieves dominion status. Anxious to share the fruits of democracy with friends in the Commonwealth, Newfoundland sends an expeditionary force, headed by the 4th King's Own Giles and Cavalancer's Light, into darkest Africa and up the River Bomba. Here, the Saguni tribe and the Mordecai people of the eastern townships struggle for independence from inner Kandu land, beleaguered by drought and war. Commander Russell Outerbridge is greeted with native dances and has an audience with Chief Bush Bush of the Saguni.
Chief Bush Bush, on behalf of the people of the Dominion of Newfoundland, I take great pleasure in presenting you with this gift of hard biscuit.
Fierce tribal differences are put aside as the nation unites under the flag of the new territory of Ugu Bomba, Newfoundland's first colony.
I'm sorry, but I really can't. First, there was no independence movement. That was a concocted excuse for a pathetic, premature imperial.
Ugu Bomba was under the yoke of inner Kanduland tyranny.
There's no such thing as Ugu Bomba until Commander Outerbridge and a few other deluded adventurers arbitrarily drew a line on a map. The Saguni and the Mordecai people despise one another and Newfoundlanders to this day. If independence was their noble concern, why did they colonize the place from the get-go?
My uncle served with the 4th Jowls and Cavalanchers, and I...
Oh, so that's it, I see.
Oh, and just what qualifies you to pronounce on these matters?
Well, I have a degree in political science from Mom.
Oh, do you now?
Well, almost. There's a couple of credits.
The dominions of the Numidian princes. The assembled chiefs seem pleased with their new Newfoundland tartan skirts. Monsignor Forward, head of the colony's mission, shows the Ugu Bombans that the garment is to be worn only by the women of the tribe.
Right, the church, I should know.
We did some very good work over there. If it weren't for the Newfoundland missions, those people would never have learned about liberty and hygiene.
Oh, come on, Ish. We were just doing dirty work for the Brits and scamming off as much ivory and betel nuts as we could in the process. In any case, this upbeat equatorial picnic you presented us here didn't last very long, did it?
I was coming to that. Here's a much later tape. Dirk Pilgrim filing from Ugu Bomba during the rebellion in 1946.
The so-called Ugu Bomba Freedom Front, or OFF, now surrounds the capital, Bibabalula. Reports from the provinces are sketchy. However, we know that New Botwood at the headwaters of the Bomba River remains in the control of the King's Own 16th Jowls and Cavalancers under the command of Colonel Xavier Lundergan. What we do not know is to whom Colonel Lundergan now answers. For the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, I'm Dirk Pilgrim in Ugu Bomba.
Was that the uncle you mentioned?
Yes, my father's brother.
That's incredible. I had no idea that the mad colonel of the Bomba was related to you.
Probably one of them credits you're missing.
Went native, huh?
Gone bombin', as they say around town these days.
That's right. Established himself as a god king. Unfortunately, he was cannibalized by his followers in a religious frenzy in 1952. But he's still worshipped as a deity in the more remote regions of the Upper Bomba.
And the national dish still bears his name. Canada washed its hands of the matter when we joined Confederation, granted them complete independence.
Complete independence, yeah, right. Well, thanks very much for this, Ish, and we'll see you again soon.
In the vault.
Hello, I'm Rita Malloy with some BCN programming highlights. At 1 o'clock, bring the kids up Gander Bay Way for a visit to Uncle Jack's shack. This week, Uncle Jack settles a score by poisoning the well and burning out Warden Coombs. At 2, BCN sporting duo Puffy Barber and Toe Rousel take to the links, checking out the province's newest golf course, Glengaltis. Get in a good 11 holes before talking handicap over a ribeye and rye at the clubhouse. That's Puffy and Toe today on Jock and Jill. At 4, it's Playlets, and the first episode of Please Make It Stop, the much-anticipated spin-off of Delbert Onglow's gritty masterpiece, The Misery That Is My Life. Today, sullen daughter Brenda's shown the door after selling Mom's medication, and Dad's despondent on news that the biopsies come back, Fausty. The Flemings are back, and it just keeps getting worse on Please Make It Stop. Cigars and Cocktails are back, and so is BCN's maestro of mixology, Max Manhattan Noftel. Tonight at 11, break out the Robustos and the Bitters and Butter the Snake as Max takes you downtown for some serious lounging. You know you love it, babe. A full day of informative and entertaining programming on BCN 520, all Newfoundland radio.
It's time for our What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest, where we challenge you to guess what is that noise from Newfoundland. If you guess right, we'll send you a BCN or a Great Eastern memento from our souvenir kiosk. Our provincial audience has an unfair advantage over our national listeners for this first week, but I have faith in you Canadians, and if last year's response to our sonic posings is anything to go by, you'll be joining us soon with your emails and your letters. But you'll need something to guess at, won't you? Engineer Hollis Duffett, hit that noise from Newfoundland. What is that noise from Newfoundland? Well, down into the mailbag I go. And let's see, here's an envelope postmarked from sunny Little Robespierre on the French shore, the Port-au-Port Peninsula, and it's from Dolores Acoin. And Dolores writes, "Dear Paul, is that noise from Newfoundland the Newfoundland pipes?" I'm sorry, Dolores, no, it is not Newfoundland pipes, whatever those are. Dolores continues, "P.S. Ever since the BCN got that new broadcasting tower, we have found the sound quality of your programs has deteriorated. I'm no expert, so the best I can say is that it is now kind of tinny. It drives my husband Walter batty. He says it makes his ears itch on the inside." I know the feeling. "I contributed to the tower bottle drive and don't want to think that all that money was wasted. I have yet to receive a reply to any of my letters addressed to BCN Audience Relations. Why are they located in Gander? Love the show. Signed, Dolores Acoin, Little Robespierre, Port-au-Port." Yes, sorry about that, Dolores, but there is no longer a BCN presence in Gander. The office there was shut down in 89. I'm assured by our technical people that, though it may not seem to sound as good as it did, our broadcast signal is, in fact, of much higher quality. I've heard a lot of comments like yours, and personally, I have to agree. The signal generated by the new communications array just doesn't have the same warmth that the signal from our old coal-fired transmitter did. Does that answer your question, Dolores? We love answering questions here on the Great Eastern. Get your pens and papers ready. If you think you know what that noise from Newfoundland is, I'll give you our contest address right after you hear it one more time. Señor Hollis, por favor. Enter the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest by writing us care of the Great Eastern, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C 1H5.
Picture yourself on a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. This week on University of the Air, Dr. Durham-Penny explores pharmacology's happiest accident. Follow along at home as our colorful chemist reproduces the notorious Hoffman experiment that changed the world forever. Take a psychotropical holiday this Thursday at 10 a.m. when University of the Air becomes shimmering visuals and breathing skin of azure foam, tartable dandelion square root. Only on BCN OPQRSTUVWXYZ 520. Thursdays, whatever that means.
So many of the performers that we've met lately on the Great Eastern, be they actors or musicians, seem to have personal trainers. We decided to see what that's all about. I'm here at Atlas Pumped, the gym of choice for a Newfoundland showbiz set, and I'm decked out in the old ochre and teal t-shirt and shorts of my alma mater, St. Matthews. With me is Pamela Meeker. She's the personal trainer and fitness consultant to many of our stars.
Hey.
Yo, hey, Pam.
You ready to sweat?
Always.
You're pumped.
I am pumped.
Now, what are you looking for, Paul?
Oh, I don't know. Biceps like yours would be nice.
Think fitness first. Improved respiration, greater endurance.
It's true, you know, I'm usually quite fat after the show.
Okay, we'll start you on a beginner's routine. First, though, Paul, your current physical condition.
Isn't that painfully obvious?
I want to compare your mass to your displacement. That'll tell us what percentage of your body weight is fat. Okay, up on the scales.
Okay.
And you are... Oh, mind.
Oh, well, let's just keep that between ourselves, okay, ma'am?
Okay. Now it's off to the tank.
All right. It's like a giant beaker. Whoa! Oh, you're looking a little glum there, Pam.
Well, the percentage of your body that's fat is pretty high.
It's a continual battle for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this summer I gave up everything except sauces.
Sauces?
I cheated once or twice, but on the whole, you know, mornay, bearnaise, hollandaise, chip dip, oh, and relishes too, chutneys, pickles, tapenade. Did I say chip dip?
Just sauces.
Yeah, I'd skip the food and just have liquids instead. You know, a couple of bowls of sauce. Is that bad?
Well, I think a lot of the fat is in the sauces.
Oh, really? That's a great tip. Coming in has been worth it already. Well, let's say I towel off now, and we just go pump some iron.
Okay, this is the main pumping area.
Now, you've graciously provided me with a dry pair of Atlas-pumped shorts and a matching T-shirt.
You look great.
You think? I find the shorts ride a little high.
It'll keep you motivated.
Indeed. Now, Pam, there are a lot of people here today, a lot of scantily clad people, wrapped tightly in lycra and spandex, revealing as they pump, 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 pump their lithe athletic forms, their taut loins, their...
Are you asking me a question?
Yes. Yes, of course. Right. Pam, what's the exercise room etiquette about looking?
Looking, Paul?
Yeah. I mean, suppose your gaze were to fall, inadvertently, mind you, on, say, those, that insignia over there. That
insignia?
Yeah, there's a letter N and a small E. I can't see the middle letters. Oh, there they are. Oh, they're gone again. Oh, there they are.
Oh, the Nike logo.
Yeah, Nike?
You know, the third world child labor athletic footwear and apparel people.
Right, just do it.
I'd say looking at that logo would be crossing the line, Paul. It's impossible not to look, inadvertently, as you say, but exercise discretion.
That's a lot to ask in here, Pam.
You'll get used to it. Once you start working out, the body you're concentrating on is your own.
Been there. Now, Pam, you have numerous exercise devices here. Ones you pull on, ones you push, ones that pull you. Weird rowing machines, all for different muscle groups, I'm guessing, Pam?
That's right. But over here we have a new generation of cruel yet ingenious body-shaping devices. They exercise complex groups of muscles. This is our latest edition. It's called the Naval Winch.
I hope you're not proposing that I get in that thing.
That's what it's all about.
I had a bad experience some years ago in the prairies, and you see, Pam, I'm just...
Come on, just put your foot in here.
Oh, Pam, you are a bold one.
And I strap your chest down here.
I used to play a game just like this with Shirley Jones.
You want to give me the microphone?
Yeah, okay.
And this bar goes here.
Oh, Pam, claustrophobic. Oh, Pam, Saskatchewan. Oh, the lights. It's coming back. Hay fever. Too much Benadryl. I need sleep. Visitors from the skies. No, no, don't probe me! Don't probe me!
Please
leave
me out!
No! No! Don't probe me! Ah!
Breathe and
put God help me!
Don't stop breathing yet!
God help me!
Come on!
Oh, please, Pam!
Come on! There you go!
Oh, my God, no. Now, that's what I call a workout.
Okay, next is the abductor, a great machine.
What do you mean, next? You do more than one machine a visit?
You have to do a complete cycle of machines, Paul. Get all the muscle groups.
And how many weeks before I've got that rippled stomach and those rock-hard buttocks of yours?
You shouldn't look at this as a goal-oriented activity. You got to make it part of your lifestyle if you want any real improvement.
Part of my lifestyle? Please, Pam, don't toy with me. I can't be coming in here for the rest of my living days. Pam Meeker. Thanks for the togs, and thanks for showing us around Atlas Pumped, gym of choice for the artistic set.
Think it over.
Yeah, sure. Now, the showers, Pam, that's a looking question.
Serving the island for over 60 years, BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
It seems like only last week I was talking to you, my Canadian compatriot. But you know, it's been over a year. For that whole year, something was not right. You weren't there to talk to. And I missed you. I missed your jolly good humor, your wacky notions about what it is to be and to be from a Newfoundlander. But we're back together. The Great Eastern once more plows your airwaves. And you know something? I'm glad you're back. I'm glad I'm back. I'm glad, once more, that you invite me and the people who make up our cultural duff into your life. Newfoundland can serve as a petri dish for Canada. We have many cultures that collide within the confines of our island home, peoples who have been enemies in other times and other places. Yet here, I don't know what it is, there isn't that much sectarian and ethnic strife. Not like you have in Quebec, say, or Manitoba. Are we lucky, or what? In any event, I'm immensely pleased we'll be in this weekly time slot. Now, I know there's been some talk recently in the papers that I'm being groomed as a successor for that uniquely Canadian institution, Peter Zosky. Well, let me be the first to scotch that notion. If there are discussions ongoing in this regard, then I am not aware of them. I am not directly or seriously considering this or any offer that may or may not, now or in the future, here or wherever, be in the cards on the table. Frankly, I thought Ian Brown was a shoo-in before that happened. I want you to know that I'm happy doing what I am. I'm happy where I am. Welcome back, Canada. The Great Eastern is broadcast live from the studios of the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland on Duckworth Street in the City of Legends, St. John's. Our engineer for today's show was Hollis Duffett, and the director of radio at the BCN is Ish Lundrigan. We'd love to hear from you, what you thought about the show, any questions or answers you may have, so why don't you drop us a line at 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. Or send us email. That address is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. My name is Paul Moth. Join us again next Saturday for the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.